Is he mad? Is he not? What's going on with Trae Young, man? The cryptic social media posts are coming back out. Ugh. Let's head out to the Wait4.com hotline. Caleb Johnson, our Hawks insider. We'll talk some dogs as well. Every time I talk to you, this thing keeps getting more and more messy. Our guy Jake Fisher, who appears to have a beat on this thing, reported yesterday that there's no talks going on right now between Trae Young and the Hawks, and that's really not going to change, and at least over the summer. And Trae Young is posting videos of himself jamming out to new music and commenting underneath other people's posts. What is the latest in as the Trae Young contract world turns here?
Yeah, Chris, I feel like you're wanting some drama here. I don't know that there's a whole ton of it, but what I will say is, based on Jake Fisher's reports, it kind of solidified similar things that I had heard, but he had more details, which is essentially that the Ansi Salehe and the Hawks were not interested in giving Trae Young a max contract. And rightfully so, Trae Young is looking for a max contract, especially after you saw De'Aaron Fox be given a max deal by the San Antonio Spurs. Now, I and a lot of other people are looking at what the Spurs just did and think that contract's going to look really ugly in a couple of years. And I feel like there's going to be conversations later on down the road if Victor Wembanyama is able to stay healthy and the Spurs get competitive, of a thing that's going to hold him back is De'Aaron Fox's contract, because it's going to keep them close to that, you know, getting between the first and second apron and all those sorts of things. And the thing that is really good about Ansi Salehe running the show in Atlanta is he comes from managing the cap in Atlanta, and previous to that in Golden State, previous to that in San Antonio. So, like, his probably the first thing on his brain is trying to see how this is all going to work out within the luxury tax and the salary cap. And what wouldn't work, if they're going to continue to build this thing out, is to give Trae Young a max deal. We've seen where, and even Trae himself has been on the record in the past and said, I don't have to be the top guy. Now, is Trae still a star? Yes. And is he someone that you want on your team? I think if you're the Hawks, yes, because I think you've built a lot of your team around him being kind of the centralized piece that keeps the offense going, but you obviously want to add to that as well. And so he's in that awkward area where a lot of the times teams would just give him the max contract, but it seems like the Hawks aren't willing to do that. And so there's not a whole lot to negotiate, quite honestly. If Trae's agent is going, hey, we want the max, and if Ansi and the Hawks are going, we're not giving them the max, then it's like, okay, well, let's let this thing play out. I think the positives that we have, and the reason why I wouldn't be concerned of any sort of trade going down or anything like that, is that Trae and Quinn are on the same page, and I think they both see the benefit of working with one another. And because of that, I think Trae does and has always wanted to be in Atlanta, and they can work on something when he does become a free agent, because when that happens next year, they will own his bird rights. So they will be able to give him the most amount of money. The only thing that would change this is if we end up in a season where Jalen gets hurt and Kristaps gets hurt and they're not competitive again, then maybe Trae goes, hey, I'll look at my options elsewhere. And maybe the Hawks go, yeah, it's a little bit better for us to reset. But that's a long, long, long way away, and a long-winded way of saying that I'm not super concerned that an extension didn't end up happening.
So, to the best of your knowledge, it doesn't at least appear that Trae feels like the Hawks are acting in bad faith.
I don't think so. I think, like, he's still going to be an athlete. He's still going to be a confident guy who is going to throw some shots out there, because he wants to be paid a max deal and he thinks he deserves it. And I understand from his perspective why he thinks he deserves a max contract, especially, like I said, when you see other guys in the league that you feel you're and quite literally are better than a guy like a De'Aaron Fox. I understand why he would be frustrated that they're not going out of their way to keep him around long term, and that's why he's going to jump in the Micah Parsons thing and kind of stir that up. But I don't think he thinks, at least from my understanding, he doesn't think they're going about this in bad faith. He's just frustrated that they don't lock him down long term with the most amount of money.
Okay, so flipping over to the UGA side of things now. It is list season, so we take it with a grain of salt, but ESPN put out their preseason all-conference teams. SEC featured one dog, and that was punter Brett Thorson. So no real playmakers make the list for the all-SEC first-team preview by ESPN. Does that surprise you?
I guess no, because I think what Georgia offensively is dealing with right now is what a lot of teams are dealing with, just maybe specifically in other areas, which is their biggest pieces on offense, I would expect to have either not played very much or have transferred in from another school. See, I mean, you know, when you think a guy like Nate Frazier, like he was a freshman last year. He showed flashes, but he had to wait his turn and you know, kind of take the opportunities that he was presented. And it was funny, like he wasn't even trusted to run the type of way that he likes to run until later on in the season. Kirby Smart came out and was like, yeah, like he wants to bounce things outside and I want him to go north and south. And so, you know, he kind of chastised Nate at one point, and then Nate was given the opportunity in a practice to bounce it outside, and he was able to use his speed to get past the defenders, and Kirby was like, okay, like you got it now. You know, so it's one of those. I think Zachariah Branch, you know, the wide receiver who transferred from USC, I think there are pieces of this offense, and that's before you even get to the quarterback, that are unproven because they either weren't with this team last year, they were playing for somebody else, or they didn't get a whole lot of opportunity. And so I wouldn't think Gunnar Stockton would, you know, kind of make that list. And then you are going to like Oscar Delp. But even he was a bit inconsistent at times last year, and I think has a bit more to prove. And so while I find Kirby Smart's team still really talented, and I think they're better than Clemson, and seeing the AP poll come out and Clemson being ahead of Georgia is strictly based on, I think, people voting with, well, we're familiar with Cade Klubnik and we know what he showed flashes of last year in a longer, you know, kind of a span. And so this is the season for, in these first couple of games, beginning with Marshall, where Georgia is going to have to prove to a lot of people of, yeah, we may not have played and been a big part of this team last year, but we can play and we're still pretty good.
Do you think Texas gets the love at number one mostly because of Arch Manning, or is it a combination of the guys that they're returning to? Because obviously when you think storylines, you think Arch Manning.
Yeah. I mean, Arch is part of that. But you can't just completely ignore that element of it all. But Steve Sarkisian put together a really, really good football team last year that obviously, you know, was right there in the mix of trying to compete for a national championship. I think, you know, if things had gone just a little bit different, quite honestly, in the SEC championship game, they're winning that one and maybe have a, you know, they would have had a completely different route in order to pull off a championship, and maybe they find themselves in the game itself. So I think based on recruiting, based on the results on the field last season, and then, yes, the hype around Arch Manning is so real. I have been one who I'm like, why do y'all believe that Arch is any better than Gunnar Stockton? Like, I feel like we saw them in about similar scenarios, especially at the end of last season, and they both came up short, and it kind of felt like the moment was a bit too big when both Gunner and Arch got their opportunities. And so with that, it's like, yeah, just because the last name is there, just because the skill set is promising, doesn't mean that's going to turn into any results. Like, this is all projection. And if you're telling me that you're holding back guys at Georgia because they're unproven, you then can't use your same arguments to convince me that Arch Manning has shown us enough to be amongst that, oh, he's an early Heisman favorite and all that sort of a thing. And so, I mean, I do think Texas deserves to be where they're at. It's wild to me that they, being the number one team on what, the AP poll, and then being not favorited in their first game because they're taking on Ohio State. I think that I saw a stat the other day. It's the first time since 1978 that that's the case, where they're the number one team in the country, but they're not favorited in their first game. So they've got their opportunity to prove it right out of the gate. I think Georgia has to wait until they face Tennessee to really convince people, because otherwise, like, these first couple of weeks is just going to be a, you know, well, they could, Georgia could throw anybody out there. Texas gets that opportunity right out of the gate to show that they are worth, you know, kind of being placed on the pedestal in the way that they are.
Tennessee, Ole Miss, or Florida? Which one of those three teams scares you the most that Georgia has to play?
Honestly, it's Florida, because I think DJ Lagway, the way that he kind of progressed last season, and I know there were so many jokes about that Florida Gator team, but I think quarterback play obviously impacts so much of what you're able to do, you know, as a team, obviously offensively. And I think what Lagway brings that Florida Gator offense, I think a lot of people are going to sleep on them. Like, I don't think Georgia is going to sleep on Tennessee, because they've been there time and time again. And even though, you know, even though Nico's not there anymore, they're still going to be somewhat of a competitive team. Ole Miss caught you sleeping last year. Like, this has been kind of a reoccurring thing, it's felt like, with Ole Miss. And so I think the awareness is more there for those two games. It's Florida, who has been more of a cupcake type atmosphere. Now this is going to be the last year, you know, that they play in Jacksonville before they go take a couple of seasons away as Jacksonville Stadium gets renovated. And so I feel like Florida for sure is that team that wants to upset a lot of people, wants to surprise a lot of people. And I hope Georgia's ready for it.
Caleb, appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to continuing to talk some dogs. We are just a mere, I think we can count it by days now, Caleb, which just makes us all salivate at that thought. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson there. When we get back, the Braves are about to play baseball again. They just won 4 out of 5 games against the Marlins. Chris Sale's making a rehab start tonight. So what do we make of this thing? Harris is hot. Baldwin's hot. Are we feeling any better about the season? Oren has 5 true and false questions for me next. Braves style, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.